and Ra is in the building with current discussions. Let's go.
Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast.
Get out of the way. Sir, put the gun down.
Put it down. Put it down now.
Put the gun down. He's got a gun. He's got a gun. Drop the gun. Drop the weapon.
Ma'am, get out of the way.
Ma'am, get out of the way.
Drop the gun. Drop it.
Drop it now.
Drop it.
Drop the weapon.
Drop it. I said drop it.
Drop the weapon now! Put it on the ground! Shots fired! I shot a fire.
Peace, family. Brother Ben Ra in the building. What's going on? We started off today's podcast with the final moments of Danquarius Franklin, who had an encounter with Charlotte Mecklenburg police officer Wendy Curl, and he was shot by Officer Curl. He was told to put down his weapon numerous times. When the officers arrived on the scene, they asked him to put his weapon down. The officers had gotten a phone call about a person inside of the Burger King who had a gun. And from what I understand, they received another phone call as of, you know, just moments later, that he was outside with the gun. And they gave a description of Mr. Franklin. Moments later, the police arrive, and in the short version of the video, you see the police arriving. They came out of the car. They pointed the guns at him. Now, Mr. Franklin was in a squatting position. For those who haven't seen the video, he was in a squatting position, and he was facing someone on the passenger side of the vehicle. And you can tell he was in discussion, because when the police arrived, it appeared that he was in discussion with somebody who was on the passenger side of the vehicle. There was also what appeared to be a worker, an employee, who was standing by the door where he was at. And they told her to get out of the way, get out of the way. Ma'am, get out of the way. And I don't know if she had any relation to Mr. Franklin or whoever was in the vehicle. For what I now know to be the manager of Burger King, or the general manager of Burger King, from what was said in the video. I think what bothered me was the fact that she gave out all of these commands, herself and the other officer who was on the scene, who, by the way, did not shoot one shot, okay? They both were yelling at him, telling him to put the gun on the ground, put the gun down, put the gun down. Now, mind you, I did not see Mr. Franklin with a gun in his hand while he was talking to the person in the car, in the red Honda Accord. It was like a burgundy red Honda Accord. I didn't see him with a gun in his hand. I didn't see him with a gun in his hand at all. So I'm assuming they were going off of the description of who had the gun. So when they arrived, they immediately got out the car. When they saw him, put the gun down, put the gun down. Get on, but put the gun on the ground. Put the gun on the ground. I didn't see a gun. So I don't know if I'm blind or what, but I didn't see a gun. As they kept yelling at him right before the shooting, Mr. Franklin said, "I heard you the first time." And he kind of like froze, because here it is. You have a gun in your pocket, or you have a gun on your person, and two police officers are pointing 9mm weapons at you. You don't want to make a wrong move. Because if you make a wrong move or some sort of sudden move, you're shot. Because that's exactly what's going to take place. So I can tell that he was trying to be very careful about what he was doing. He reached over on his side. It appeared that he was pulling the gun out to lay it down on the ground. And he was trying to do it in a way that, you know, showed that he was complying with them when they kept telling him put the gun down. But before he even had a chance to even put the gun down, two shots rang off from Officer Curl, and she put the brother down. I wasn't really feeling that at all. I've gotten mixed reviews from people who saw the video. You know, you had some people that just simply said, hey, he should have put the gun down from, you know, when she told him. What some people don't seem to understand is that when it comes to us, black men, black males, when they come to the scene and we have a gun, they are ready to shoot. I'm telling you right now, they are ready to shoot. I may not speak for all police officers, but what I can say is, based on history, based on the history between black men and white men and women of any police department anywhere in this country, if a black man has a gun, when they arrive on the scene, they are ready to use their weapon to take us down, especially us. Now, I believe she should have waited for him to put the gun down instead of just firing off a shot. She should have waited for him to lay his gun down. She didn't even give him an opportunity to put it on the floor. She told an officer who arrived on the scene after Mr. Franklin was shot, she told that officer, well, you know, he went for his gun and I shot him. But what she failed to tell him, I mean, when you hear that, basically you're thinking, any thinking person would think that, hey, somebody just went for their gun. They just went for it. So out of her safety and the safety of others, she had to shoot him. But she was asking him to put his gun down. He didn't go for his gun as if he was going to try to shoot one of them. He went for his gun because he went to grab it to put the gun down, like he was instructed to do by them. And he was shot and killed before the gun could even touch the ground. If he didn't have the gun in his hand, he had to go get the gun. That's why he reached for it, to take it and put it down on the ground. I'm going to say this to anyone who may have an encounter with a police officer and you have your gun in your jacket or whatever. Since police officers may judge you going for your gun as you trying to go after your gun to do something to them, let them know that you have a gun on your person, and that some way, somehow, they need to come to get the gun, because you do not want to be shot. You can see my hands. I don't want to be shot. You come get this gun. You give them a full description of where that shit is so they can come and get it, so it can end well. You survive the encounter. Because if you're communicating the fact that you do have a gun and it is in your pocket or it's in your holster, wherever you may have it, can you please come and get it? You see my hands. I'm not going for my weapon. Send an officer to come and get the weapon. Because it seems as if you follow commands to go put your gun down, you're going to get shot. Before you could even complete whatever you were told, you're going to get shot. So what is the sense of following commands of an officer in certain circumstances when you're going to get shot anyway, right? These are the type of people that they're putting on the force that are in our communities, patrolling our communities. You know, on the flip side, just by looking at that video, I tried to place myself as the police officer, which it's not that easy to do. You would literally have to be in that situation. And I tried to put myself there. And when I saw him reach like that, I wondered, you know, would I have shot him myself? Or would I have waited to see exactly what he was going to do before I pulled the trigger? Because if I'm giving you a command to do something and you haven't done it yet, I'm waiting for you to do that. I did not see the brother with a gun to the person's head that he was talking to. He did not have the gun pointed at the police. He did not even have the gun pointed at himself. He was just on his knees in a squat. It appeared to be as if he was communicating with someone. He didn't appear to be that kind of a threat at that moment, but he was still shot and killed. I'm not really sure I'm really feeling that. You know, I think Officer Curl was, I think she was in a hurry to either you comply with what I say or I'm just gonna fire. And when he went for his gun on the side to take it and pull it down, and you could see him leaning his arm down, you could see it. He was shot twice immediately. And as I stated before, the question is, if you're telling me to put the gun down, How come you didn't even give me the opportunity to put the gun down? Why didn't you give me the opportunity to comply? And again, I don't want nobody saying, well, she told him about 100 times. And I'm going to say again, put yourself in his position in a squat. And two police officers are pointing 9mm at you. They know you have a gun. And they're telling you to put the gun down. And they're screaming for you to put the gun down. You just, will you, you know, just all of a sudden grab your gun and drop it? I don't think so. Because we all know that if you go for your gun, you're going to get shot multiple times. So you got to be careful about what you're doing. I mean, we as a people, we have to do better. This is Brother Ben Rock.
Family, you do not want to miss the 6th Annual Carolina Veterans Appreciation Expo being held in Fayetteville, North Carolina, the weekend of July 26th through the 28th, 2019. This event is being hosted by Support Her Boots, NavVets of America, Embassy Suites by Hilton, and the historic campus of Fayetteville State University. This event is a 3-day event which will be held in Fayetteville, North Carolina. It is going to be filled with fun, music, vendors, and artistry at its best. On Friday, you will have speakers. Saturday, you come out and enjoy the vendors, food. And on Sunday, the Salute to Soldiers Jazz and Inspirational Benefit Concert will be held at the Fayetteville State University stage. This inspiring event is the finale to the weekend. The concert will feature award-winning jazz artist Dante Lewis, actress best known for her appearance in the Tyler Perry's stage play Madea's Family Reunion, and singer Deatra Hicks, gospel hip-hop artist J-Lo, and the neo-soul gospel artist Via. This is a night of ministry through various forms and a night filled with surprise performances. We welcome sponsors, vendors, exhibitors, local artists, and volunteers to participate. Please, you gotta come out and support this event. It's gonna be the bomb. It is a 6th annual Carolina Veterans Expo, and you gotta come out and support it. It is gonna be absolutely phenomenal. And if you're coming from Charlotte, North Carolina to get to the 6th annual Carolina Veterans Appreciation Expo, there are round trip tickets available by bus. Round trip tickets available. So if you want all of this information, you want to come and join the festivities, you can contact this station, truepodcasting@gmail.com. That is truepodcasting@gmail.com. Once again, that is true, T-R-U, podcasting@gmail.com. Or you can call 980-292-1988. That is 980-292-1988.
Introducing Brother Ben Ra.
Want to give a comment about a subject that we just talked about? Or maybe you just might want to give us some new ideas or a shout out. If so, call 980-292-1488. That's 292-1488, area code 980. That's how you reach current discussions. Or maybe you want to send us an email. So you want to do that? Send it to truepodcasting@gmail.com. That is truepodcasting@gmail.com. That is TRU podcasting@gmail.com.
Back from the break. Current discussions. Let's continue.
I show you my hands, you still shoot.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. That's because some of them don't even know what they want.
What?
They're trained to say. Some of them have not really been in a real life situation.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are nervous. Some of them just waiting for opportunity to kill a civilian. Black civilian.
Right.
Automatically, they're intimidated.
Right.
You know, it's a nature that goes with fear. And they got to be careful of their command, you know. Like, if you tell somebody, put their hands up, and when they go to put their hands up, you shoot them. You probably should never tell them to put their hands up.
Right.
You can tell them, keep your hands at your side, you know, whatever the case is. And some of them don't know what they elicit when they bar commands up. Like you say, put the weapon down. So now you're making a downward motion, but in your mind, you're translating a downward motion as they try to get the drop on me. There's a lot of different things that go into it.
You know, I think her problem was she was so quick. She was so quick to want to pop off. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was. Because she was front and center with the confrontation of the situation.
Right.
Like from her body camera, She was right up on them. Not the one that's going to shield herself or anything.
Right.
And in any situation, the first thing you're supposed to do is shield yourself and get a range, a good shot. If this person tries to become aggressive,
right,
then you're sheltered. Like, she could have placed herself right to the left-hand side, to that vehicle, where the guy right was in the vehicle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, in a situation where you have one foot forward, your right foot forward, because that's what I would have done.
Right.
I would have had half of my body exposed with the gun outward with both hands, telling this dude to freeze. So if he do try to pop, then the car is shielding me, my torso. To tell you the truth, to have a righteous kill, I might even let him pop one time or make an aggressive move. Because a cop's job, I looked up the cop description I had before, is to de-escalate a situation.
Right.
De-escalate situations. Wait. A lot of them just don't have that mentality of it.
And I watched the video over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, if you ask somebody to drop a weapon and they're trying to drop it, why are you going to shoot them anyway?
Because they already had the intention to shoot.
Right.
Yeah, everything that was said and done is just a cover.
You just drop the weapon. So you got to give them an opportunity to drop the weapon before you fire a gun. Like, you know, why are you going to go shoot the man? You didn't even give him an opportunity. You give him a command, and when you try to follow your command, you shot him anyway.
Right.
But a lot of times, but see, this is what I keep saying over and over again. The reason why they keep doing this shit is because there is no accountability.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? And they keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And then when they get off, they just get off. You got to go sing and dance and call several reverends to pray for your family and, you know, and say all kinds of stupid shit. Like, you know, God wanted it this way. I hope it sends a message to, you know, get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? We've been doing this shit. This shit has been happening for too long.
Right. Well, a lot of times I think people have that mentality about me in mind until it becomes, God forbid, one of our children, one of our fathers, our uncles, sisters.
Right.
A lot of us are not really concerned. You know, if we really knew this dude, or it's happened all over the world, all over North America, different places. But until it really hits home, a lot of people aren't concerned.
Right.
I need to really look at it before it becomes my family member. I need to get involved, or I want to be involved with this, you know, before it really hits home. It's hitting right somebody else. It's like a roulette wheel. Eventually your number's going to come up because they're going one by one and eliminating our people and using the law to do it.
Right.
It surprised me, you know, that I mentioned on the show where the origins, because after we spoke, I started doing research on it. Yes, I'm gonna pull that out. You know, I should be able to find it. Some of the things to tell. You do know how the police force started. The police force started as a slave catcher unit. The origins of the police, the benevolent association, is slave catchers.
Okay.
They policed the policies of slave catching. There was no other crimes, really, for the most part.
Right.
In America, because they was raping our ancestors.
Right.
They was killing them. But the law was formed to protect society against slaves. There has been nothing that ratified our position as African Americans in this country as descendants of slaves. We never received restitution because on the books we're basically still slaves.
Right.
So when you look at what the overseers did to slaves back in the days, it's the same thing they're doing now.
Right.
Torture, killing, and they had no accountability. Why? Because that was their job. It wasn't really their job, but it was fell within the rights of what they could do to us, and it still does. That's why they don't face prosecution, because of his origins of whatever it was. It still is.
Right.
Overseer officer, KRS said it best in that song. You know what I'm saying? There's no difference.
Right.
And we running around driving fancy cars, living in fancy house, thinking that something has changed from the 1800s. Really, not much has. Not on the books, at least. And when it comes to them being protected legally, they are, because we're in the same position as our ancestors.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for maintain. Peace.